What's up to all our sidekicks and henchmen out there in the Geek Nation? You're listening to Gutter Talk.
Gutter Talk!
I'm Johnny Destructo.
Yo, what's up? Holla at your boy. This is Len, a.k.a. the Bat Tribble.
Mwah. Oh, I forgot. I'm Johnny Destructo, a.k.a. Thwip Tribble.
Yeah.
I'm proud of my new name. I need to start using it some more. Like, I'm the Thwip Tribble. What up, y'all? So, yeah, we're here at 4456 Main Street in Manayunk, Pennsylvania.
It's a comic book shop.
Johnny Destructo's Hero Complex. And it's new book day, so I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah.
A lot of new shit out every week. Fear Agent, I'm excited about. What are you excited about, Len?
What did I just purchase?
I'll tell you what you just purchased. You purchased Fear Agent.
Yes, I did.
And Sleeper.
Sleeper, which is actually a reprint of a great, 90s?
Was it the 90s?
Miniseries? I guess early 2000s.
Early
2000s. Miniseries from Wildstorm that was really, really dope.
Was that the beginning of, correct me if I'm wrong, was that because now it's no longer on my shelf, it's in your bag. Is that the beginning of Brubaker and Phillips working together?
Yes.
Oh, man.
They've
made a whole career out of just hanging out together and doing cool shit.
Yep, this is where it all began.
Man.
Right there on Sleeper. Really dope.
I read it back in the day, and I thought, oh, this is something. But then I feel like it just got canceled and stopped. Am I correct? Or did it wrap?
No, because it was 2 6-issue miniseries.
Oh.
And that's all it was meant to be.
Shit, I got to get another one in and read it.
Sorry, I got that from you.
See, that's a secret pro tip. Order in things you want, that way you can read them. But then if someone buys them, you can't read them. What do you want to... you know what? I know what we could start with. So, we have a loyal listener who writes in, and we love her to death. Her name is Pink Apocalypse, and she's been writing in for years.
Yeah.
Listening for a long time, and we really appreciate it. However, she wrote in again recently.
Because we had mentioned that we hadn't heard from her in a while.
Yeah. That's how important she is. If she goes missing, we're like, wait, what happened to Pink?
Exactly.
So, this is the email that she just sent recently this week. It says, yo, I haven't missed a single podcast. You guys can't say the same about emails. Mm. I sent one proposing a Tribble name for myself and another a long time ago to your Cannibal Horror Cast. Neither has been read, so I stopped sending more. Not sure what's going on. Yours in overworked grad hell, Pink. So, Pink, again, we love the emails.
We do.
I'm very excited that you send us emails, and it means a lot. However, because we read them. Well, we read one of them. I think, okay, so Cannibal Horror Cast, we didn't read, I don't think, because we just haven't done a Cannibal Horror Cast since you emailed. It's been like a long time. It's been hard to get that crew together. So we have another one coming. Oh, shit, I think we're supposed to do it tonight with Justin Jordan. We're going to be,
nice.
I think it's going to be me, Bug, and Justin Jordan talking about some stuff. But anyway, hopefully I'll remember to read it on that one. But the one you sent into Gutter Talk, we did read, and we actually researched and went back and listened through and figured out when it happened. So you may have missed this episode 481 of the Cult Pop Stream. 481 is the episode. It came out on around September 6th, I think.
Yes.
And it's... The title of the episode is Secret Empiric Nothings.
Yes, Gotta Talk Secret Empiric Nothings.
And your email gets read 11 minutes into the podcast. So how about that?
Yes.
How do you like them apples?
That, we do not only answer your email, but we speak of the Tribble name that you selected.
Yeah, which was?
Where No Tribble Has Gone Before.
Yes.
Is that what it was?
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Yes, and we spoke about how, like, very highly...
Yeah.
Of that Tribble name.
Surprised that it wasn't taken yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
yeah.
Very much so.
So go back. You may have missed that episode. It probably just because I fucking posted it late, because that's just how I do.
I didn't. I posted it on time. So if you were a subscriber.
Wait. On time.
I did.
What does it mean when you post it on time? I get it after you post it. So literally whenever you decide to post it is on time. We don't have a day that we post the show.
I try.
I have to wait for you to post it before I could post mine.
True that. Yeah. However, I try in general to post our shows unless we like for movie, you know, business reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
I try to post them
embargoes.
Mm-hmm. I try to post them the day after we record them.
Mm.
So I don't always make it, but I usually I'm pretty good at getting them up the day after we record it.
And then my goal is like somewhere within the next month after that. Listen, I got a lot to do, man. I got a lot of pods. There's a lot of things.
I'm not mad at you.
So thank you so much, Pink, for writing in and berating us. We do appreciate all of the emails that we get, which brings us to
our current emails, one of which we received from Christopher Goodnight. And I don't believe we've read this email. It was about his love of Jason Todd.
Yes.
Now, from Christopher St. Saucy, Goodnight. I love Jason Todd. The balls it takes to attempt to steal the wheels off the Batmobile. One of the first comics I read was Hush, which, yeah, wasn't Jason, or maybe it was for a little bit, but then he really did come back in Under the Hood. I could really identify with a character who was hated so much. I love the current Red Hood and the Outlaws book. I didn't get to read the two previous series, but this was one of the books that I was excited to read when I got back into comics with Rebirth. And when Dexter Soy is drawing the book, I mean, damn, I wish he could draw everything. I love Ready Player One, and I will absolutely be buying the Blu-ray. Part of the reason it felt so convenient was it was condensed. It could have been stretched out into three movies and fleshed out a lot of the references, but then we would have had another Hobbit situation. I don't think you can call Percival a stalker when the Holiday has a museum dedicated to him and the premise of the movie is a scavenger hunt that you have to get into his mindset to solve. I have too many guilty pleasures to mention. Speaking of guilty pleasures, I suppose you can say I love a lot of things that aren't age or sex appropriate for me. I watch teen girl soaps like One Tree Hill or The OC and read teen girl YA fiction like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and Jenny Han's To All the Boys I Loved Before trilogy. And yeah, I'm going to see Taylor Swift in concert.
Nice!
Did JD say that Hercules was in the Bible? Chris St. Saucy, good night. P.S. Len, I live in the middle of Trump country, and it makes me want to swallow a bullet.
Oof.
So many bumper stickers, so many Confederate flags that make me want to commit theft and arson. Please adopt me and get me the hell out of this hellscape.
Oh. Well, the good news is you probably have really easy access to guns.
There you go.
Being in Trump country. Or anywhere. Actually, anywhere.
Real easy legal access to guns.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry to hear that. That sounds terrible.
Yeah, I feel for you.
Yeah, that's brutal. Oof.
However, you know, stand strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You didn't kowtow to all of this, you know, pressure and all this stuff all around you. So don't kowtow now.
Yeah, man.
You know?
Keep it up.
Keep it up.
So, Jason Todd, yeah.
I like Jason Todd, but I actually was very good with Jason Todd not returning.
Yeah. And you know what? Especially because in Hush, they did that whole little
misdirection thing.
Yeah. Where right. It turned out it was Clayface.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, well, that was kind of cool for a minute there. And now it's Clayface. And then they decided to bring him back again. And so it pulled the rug out from under itself.
It did.
Yeah.
They got too cute.
Yeah.
I guess cute with it.
And so Randy, I don't know if you had seen it, Len, or if I don't think we discussed it yet. Randy had listened to our previous show and got onto his cell phone and took a video of him driving. He's always driving and videoing. And he was yelling at us from his car about he's going to teach us some shit. And next time we get together, he's going to take us to school.
He has to be on the next gutter talk to, well, he missed this one.
Yeah.
So he could take us to school and teach us a thing or two or three.
But I will take a quick issue with one of the things he said. He had mentioned
that Randy said
about Jason Todd and how there wasn't any character development. And what I was saying was, I kind of, for the first time, wish there wasn't character development with Jason Todd. The problem I had with Jason Todd was he came back, he was a different member of the Bat family, like he was a foil, he had Uzis, he was murdering people, and I would have preferred them not develop his character more so that like all of a sudden he's in the Bat family and giving people hugs,
mm-hmm.
that he remained as sort of the DC Universe Punisher.
Yeah.
So, like, he's like, listen, it didn't work out. The way you raised me, Batman, sucks. The way you do it doesn't work, so we need to kill people. Otherwise, we're going to keep fighting the same criminals. And I feel like had he kept that mode of characterization, it would have been more interesting for me, because now he's just another member of the Bat family again, who they don't really know what to do with.
Which, unfortunately, just makes it even more criminal what they're doing to Tim.
Mm.
Because Tim, who was a fully fleshed character, who was the person that took the Robin mantle and really ran with it, with a comic book that ran for years, earned his spot as
Robin
and Batman's trusted aide, and really loved being Robin, wasn't looking to move on from it. It basically turned him into this Dr. Midnight knockoff with this one of the dumbest logos I've ever seen. I remember, I think, and I guess it was New 52 or Rebirth, I can't remember which, that came up with the Red Robin logo. And I remember seeing it somewhere and saying, oh, they must be joking. Like, this must just, like, be, like, the pretend, or, like, you know, this must just be, like, a
gag.
Sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah, a gag or a sketch, you know, just running through ideas. But no, then I saw it actually drawn on his costume, and I was like, are they serious?
It's like a little, like a Robin face, right? Yellow. Yeah, it's yellow, and it's like, it almost looks like a wave, like a ocean wave, right? Is this the one you're talking about?
I don't know if it looks like it. To me, it was meant to look like it was like two R's. Oh, no, that's not the one I'm talking about.
Oh, you're talking about it was just RR?
It's RR on his chest.
I see.
And that looks dumb. Now, I mean, that which is basically like a bird in a way.
Like a bird head.
That works.
Yeah.
Even though it's, you know.
It's not great.
Not great.
Not great. So, yeah. Anyway.
And him being into YA stuff, I feel like he's in touch with his inner JD.
Yeah, man, I dig all that shit too.
You did.
I fucks with it. I don't care.
Don't you have like an OC T-shirt?
I've never watched the OC.
You didn't?
I was tempted because I do. I
it
think
was too close to home.
I had liked that one kid who was the comic geek. I liked that actor because he was funny. He was. I want to say he was in Jennifer's Body as well. I think he was the main bad guy in Jennifer's Body. I always thought he was a funny actor, and I thought he was going places. Then he sort of like disappeared. But yeah, I like the Harry Potters. That counts. That's YA, right?
That's YA.
Yeah,
but he was talking about. It sounded like he was more into like teen girl YA, which it's not necessarily a problem.
I've watched the Archie TV show. What's that called? Riverdale.
Riverdale.
I've watched some episodes of that. Oh my God. I'm an unabashed fan of Gilmore Girls.
You are.
I love me some Gilmore Girls.
Yes, you are. You are a Gilmore boy.
Oh, a Gilmore guy.
Oh, is that what they are?
There's actually a podcast called The Gilmore Guys.
Yes, there is. Yeah, because they're reviewing every episode of
the Gilmore. They, like, took off, too. They actually got to meet the women of Gilmore Girls and stuff, and I was a little jealous.
Well, you have to imagine there's not a whole lot of, you know, competition.
True. So thank you so much for emails. Speaking of emails, holy shit, we got another one, son.
Not another one.
Another one, son. This one comes from Max Mancini, who is a friend of the podcast, also a customer of the shop. So it makes me even more excited. Hey, JD and Len. Exclamation point. I just began reading Fantastic Four number 48 to 50 in anticipation for their return and hopefully their inclusion in the MCU after the merger. It was my first time reading anything by the great Stan Lee, and I cannot help but notice how different his style is from current writers. A line that really stood out to me was, quote, "And now, through the magic of our limitless imaginations, we return again to the verdant planet Earth, where we find the world's most fabulous quartet completing the last leg of their fateful journey," end quote. I couldn't imagine reading this in a comic today. What do you guys think of this? Can you think of any other styles, be it writing or drawing, that you couldn't imagine today? I hope I can come in and recite the Triple Oath one day soon. Thanks, Max Mancini. Oh, my man.
Well, thank you for that great email.
And yeah.
Yes, Stan. yeah, he couldn't write today.
Nah.
And let's be honest. There's a reason why Stan stopped writing the comic book even in the 70s. And Roy Thomas kind of took over on everything. So, no, Stan quickly became out of fashion.
He's also one of the only dudes who could get away with saying things like Excelsior as a catchphrase.
Pretty much, yes. Yes, yeah? This is solely him.
Yeah.
Solely
him. What a personality on that guy. I've always really enjoyed him. The first time I ever think I heard him was he was doing the intros for the old Incredible Hulk cartoon.
Oh, yes, he was. That's right. He was a voice on there.
Yeah, that's how I first heard his voice and got to know him. And then when I saw the picture of him, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
it fits. Yeah. Definitely fits. Like you talk about styles of writing that maybe doesn't fit today.
I got to go too, but you go first.
Well, I mean, I don't want to pick on the writers of old because, like, you know, the early
days. Well, they were writing for their time.
Yeah, they were writing for their time. But one writer who is fairly, well, he's not even recent anymore, but his stuff is extremely dated now, is Chris Claremont.
Ah, that was my dude. That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, Chris Claremont, if you try to reread those X-Men comics, you know, his Claremont and Byrne, that whole run.
Which, at the time, was groundbreaking and amazing. I don't want to take away from what they had done at the time.
No, you don't.
But it doesn't hold up.
It does not hold up. Ugh. See, but I realized a long time ago why it stood out to me so much. One was because of Byrne's art. Like John Byrne's art was.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, like he is one of those benchmark in time of comic book arts that like changed the game. Mm. You know what I mean? There's only a few, and he's one of them.
Mm-hmm. His quick side note: his She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially at that point in my adolescence.
Yes.
Yo. Well,
he's the reason why She-Hulk is She-Hulk. Because before that, she was She-Hulk.
Yeah, yeah. Now she's more she than Hulk. Yeah, they had a little bit more she to her. Nice.
But his art stood out.
Mm-hmm.
But then the reason why I still enjoyed reading them was because of the lettering. Because of Tom
Orzechowski?
Orzechowski. Huh. I loved his lettering. It was almost like, and this was in the days of hand lettering.
Yeah.
Yet it looked almost typewriter-ish. And it just sold the comic so much.
Mm-hmm.
When you reread it, you realize, oh my God, that's a big-ass word balloon with a whole lot of words in it. Because Chris Claremont was overwriting everything.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't mind it then because that artwork just fit so with John Byrne's art. The lettering fit perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the coloring by Glennis Wine, it was just all came together and just, wah.
Delicious.
Deliciousness.
Yeah. Chris Claremont is the very first person that comes to mind when I'm asked that question.
Yeah.
I've been asked a couple times, and it's always Chris. Who's the dude who did Avengers Forever? Was that Kurt Busiek?
Yes, it was.
Also a problem. Because we had done that on a retrospectacle, which is when we do a book club, right? I just call them retrospectacles. And we had done Avengers Forever, and I was really excited because I remember loving the fudge out of that book when it came out, and it does not hold up.
No.
It is way overwritten.
It's a history lesson. Mm. It's basically a history lesson. Again, that's another book that is sold because of the art, Carlos Pacheco.
Oh, Pacheco. Oh, he's coming back, isn't he? He's doing something soon. Isn't he doing one of the Marvel Fresh Start Johns?
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about Pacheco, he's never really gone away. He just hasn't always been on some of the more, you know,
top tier
books.
Yeah,
but he's always been out there.
What are you doing, Carlos Pacheco?
Yeah, that's a book that, but Busiek gets a pass to me for that because one, I think he was purposely trying to write more or less a coloring book for Carlos Pacheco to just go eight on, which Carlos did. And two, Busiek, you know, he's got that, okay, and that wasn't great, but then he's got Astro City.
Yeah.
And when you've got Astro City, you can forgive all the other sins.
Have you been keeping up?
Astro City?
Because dude's still going.
I have every single solitary trade.
My man. Nice. Is it still good?
It is still good. I will say, however, that the artwork, Brent Anderson, he was never the greatest artist, but it kind of like kind of fit in with that, you know, real world aesthetic they were trying to give to it. But I think he is a man who has lost his game.
That's a shame.
And it really is a shame, especially because some of the last couple of storylines have been really very interesting. And I think that his art has not given them the display that they deserve.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Even back in the heyday of Astro City, when it was first coming around, it always looked to me like the art of Neil Adams.
He wishes.
But after a stroke.
But there is a little bit of that, because you know how like Neil Adams, his most recent stuff, that Batman Odyssey, mm-hmm. and that Superman...
Dead Man?
Yeah.
That's what he's doing right now.
He threw out. Looks like Neil Adams, like, I don't know, just threw up on the page.
Yeah, I can't. It's a bummer.
That's a little bit what Brent Anderson is looking like on Astro City right now.
That's a shame.
It really is. It really Oof, is a shame.
God damn it. So to go back for just 30 seconds to what we were talking about, Carlos Pacheco will be doing The Life of Captain Marvel.
Okay.
So he's going to be drawing that with Margaret Stoll on words. I'm trying to think of another writer who maybe did not. Frank Miller.
Yeah, that was my man Frank. Next go-to.
I feel like his writing and his art have both suffered.
Well, his art now it's not art.
Well, I can't say that. It's abstract art.
Okay. I think it's subtract art.
Oh! God damn it! That's our show. We're not going to top subtract. That was dope. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, his stuff is like, but his writing, honestly, you know, you want to read something that I don't think holds up? After
Mein Kampf.
After A Dame to Kill For, Sin City does not hold up at all.
Oh, no. I know towards the end of it, there was like book 7 that I started to feel like, oh, all right. But I remember enjoying the rest of them. Do you mean like even just going back to the older ones?
The first, well, A Dame to Kill For is one of the old, it's like the second one.
The second one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one's like a big fat kill, originally just called Sin City.
Right, and then it's A Dame to Kill For.
I remember liking the first, like, up until like 6 or 7 is when I started to go, oh, I don't know if I care about this like anymore.
But A Dame to Kill For is good. The one after that, I'm drawing a blank. The Big Yellow Bastard is okay, but it really is just warmed over Mickey Spillane. You know what I mean? To me, there's not a whole lot. I mean, there's not a whole lot of originality in Sin City in general, but you know, there's less so in Big Yellow Bastard.
Moving forward, yeah.
And then moving forward, it becomes even. He screws the pooch, and it's really just not. I just don't think it holds up.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't gone back since like the first times I read all those books, but I remember absolutely loving them.
Right.
Just the art. And that was my introduction, really, to sort of those hard-boiled stories from the 60s, the 50s and 60s that I was never really privy to until Frank Miller started dropping those. And then I started going, oh, so that is this references this. And, you know, doing the deep dive. And now I love things like Richard Stark's novels. And
yeah, by Darwin Cook.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, even just his novels.
Oh, the novels itself, yeah.
But right, yeah, the Darwin Cook shit. Oh,
yeah, man.
The Hard Case Crime series of books, which I think Stephen King even did a couple of those. He did like 2 of them. So, yeah, because of Frank Miller dipping back into stuff, that's how I appreciate things. And I think some people give artists a hard time for drawing heavily on something that they've grown up on. But time and time again, when a contemporary artist does that, and I'm enjoying it, it makes me go back and appreciate what they're drawing from. Sometimes you talk about like Quentin Tarantino, very masturbatory of him, really just putting a bunch of stuff that he loves into a pot and then making a movie out of it.
Right.
Who else does stuff like that?
Well, to a degree, what's his name? Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Robert Rodriguez.
He does that a little bit. I also think to a degree, Brian Azzarello does that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with 100 Bullets and then with the Western that he did after that, Loveless.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That was good. Yes. Yeah, that was fun. But, yeah, it doesn't really bother me that much. Oh, you know what? The reason it came up recently, I was trying to think, is because they were talking about Ready Player One and how it's just a bunch of references to things they love.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's okay. Why is that bad? Why can't we just have a book that is being like, hey, remember this cool thing? That was fun.
Yeah, see, but that's, you know what that's called? That's called a coffee table book.
Yeah.
That's not called a narrative.
Mm.
So if you're putting your book out as a narrative, there's got to be something upon which these references hinges.
Mm.
Or especially if the references are just going to be references
for only. The sake of references.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Shit. Did we answer it? Was there a question in that email? Oh, yeah, we answered it. We did it. Chris Claremont. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got one more email, and this is from Dan Dinkins.
Is he the mayor?
He is the mayor of Tribble. He is the mayor of Tribble. We actually had another email from Christopher Goodnight, but you only get one email for our shows, Chris. Sorry. Dan wrote us, guilty pleasures. Yo, there's nothing guilty about liking Genesis and loving NWA, regardless if you're in the super woke era. Now, Taylor Swift, guilty, please, would be liking her new rendition of September. It's atrocious. He's crazy. Now, my guilty pleasures that I'm not guilty about are the movie Clueless, a dumbass Stacey Dash is still the ish to me.
Oh, man.
Watching shows like iCarly, Jesse and Victorious with my daughters. They're funny as hell sometimes.
Aww.
And my old Saturday night fave, watching Lock Up on Saturday nights while I was home, jealous of others hanging out, was my ish. I'd watch it so I knew where I would never go in life, which is prison. I'm sure I have more, but this douce I was drinking helped me forget. Oh, well. LOL. Peace, y'all, and P.S. Thanks for the friend request, JD. We'll be sure to kick it in real life sometime soon.
Nice.
Your mom's favorite Fat John, Mayor, a.k.a. Thanos Tribble. Thank you, Dan. I can't let you have Mayor / Thanos Tribble because there actually is a Thanos Tribble.
Oh, shit.
Who is himself a very large man.
Is there an Infinity Tribble?
No.
Hmm. Just wondering.
Not that I know of.
So, what was Lock Up on Saturday night?
Lock Up is just one of those shows that talks about like life in prison.
Oh, I've never seen it. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, and you don't want to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You don't need to know about that life.
I've never watched iCarly. I don't have daughters. And what was the first one?
Jesse and Victorious.
I never heard of it.
Me neither.
Oh, so everyone keeps talking about this Taylor Swift cover.
September.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I listened to a minute of it, and I was like, all right, it's a song. Why do I care about this?
Well, I think the thing is because the original is by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Which means nothing to me.
That is by Earth, Wind & Fire?
Means nothing to me.
Because Earth, Wind & Fire means something to you?
I'm aware that they have made music.
Okay.
That's where my expertise ends on Earth, Wind & Fire.
See, that's because, you know, with all due respect.
Oh, I am due no respect. Please, go ahead.
Trust me, because this will be sans respect. As a white guy,
it's me
of a certain age. You have grown up with a love of the music you've been introduced to, punk rock and certain levels of rock, and even some degree of pop music as well.
Yeah.
And because of growing up in the era that you did, you also were introduced to hip-hop.
Yes.
What you were not introduced to and thus do not have any great appreciation for is real rhythm and blues / R&B. And if you had any type of appreciation for R&B, you would realize that just to say that I realize that Earth, Wind, and Fire created music is heresy and would soon find you flayed on a pike somewhere.
So have I been sleeping on Earth, Wind, and Fire? Is that what you're telling me?
Earth, Wind, and Fire is singularly, if you look in the pantheon of musical groups, and I'm talking about all genres, everyone will tell you, if you get to number 15 without and you have not named Earth, Wind, and Fire,
you're wrong.
You're wrong.
Wow.
Everyone will tell you that.
Holy cats. I didn't realize how... It never even occurred to me. Like, I've heard of them, and I was like, well, it's a band. It's never occurred to me that they had any influence or importance in any genre. You know what
I mean? In the time where bands were bands, you know, four guys getting together, five guys, three guys getting together, Earth, Wind, and Fire was literally an orchestra of immense horns, strings, drums, and vocals all coming together to produce the 70s and 80s sound of R&B.
Now, let me ask you this. As someone who, I couldn't tell you a single song that they do.
Yes, you could. If I sang it to you. If you ever hear the song Reasons?
I don't know.
You have. If you listen to it, you'll say, I know this song.
Oh, I know this track. Oh, this track. Oh, I know this one. Okay. Will I care about them now? As
no.
someone just dipping into them, would I be like, this is real good? Or would I be like, this is from the 70s?
I think some of their music might have a datedness to it, but I think that you could appreciate it.
All right.
Also, when you listen to it, you'll hear many influence in the hip hop that you like.
Like they use samples from Earth, Wind, and Fire a lot?
They did sample them a fair amount, not a great deal, because their music was so orchestral sometimes. You know, sometimes that's hard to just find like a safe loop.
Yeah.
So you might find like a piece of their stuff, you know, someplace, but it might be the piece that makes the track.
Growing up, that always tickled the shit out of me. Because I would grow up listening to different hip-hop groups and bands or what have you, artists, and then I would be in a store somewhere and it would be playing over the Muzak, and I'd be like, oh, that's where that sample came from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always loved that. And like, no one would give a shit. But like, Mom, this is where the... Okay, never mind.
Right.
But I appreciate it. So yeah, I always like hearing where things come from. So maybe I'll give them a shot.
You should.
I should at least, for the very least of it, just listen to their... What is the song?
September.
September, and then listen to this one that everyone's angry about. I saw one on Facebook. It was like three older black women just responding to it, listening to it, and like having a response to it. Someone was filming it.
I'll tell you what you should listen to. Listen to that. That's fine. But here's an appreciation. I think this will give you an appreciation of how great Earth, Wind, and Fire is.
Okay.
Listen to, and I believe it's the Beatles, Gotta Get You Into My Life.
Uh-huh.
And it's a good song by the Beatles. Earth, Wind, and Fire remade it.
Hmm.
Everyone listens to the Earth, Wind, and Fire version.
Oh, no shit.
If you listen to the Earth, Wind, and Fire
version, they took it.
It's a whole nother song.
Okay.
And it's 8,000 times better.
Oh,
like
shit.
Paul McCartney says, like, wish we did it with them.
Yeah. With that accent. All right, I'll try him out. I'll give him a shot. Yeah. So thank you, Mayor Dinkins.
Mayor Dinkins. He's going to fuck you.
That's what it was. I didn't say.
Dan Dinkins.
I didn't say Dink Dink.
There's something about Mayor Dinkins. Well, actually, there was a Mayor Dinkins. So I wonder if he's related to Mayor Dinkins.
Probably.
He probably was.
Yeah.
Dan's a guy with
Danny Dink Dinks. I was trying to not call him Danny Dink Dinks.
You have to. Own it.
All right. So what do you want to talk? Should we talk about Infinity War?
We did see Infinity War. Infinity War.
Oh my God, y'all. We saw Infinity War. And I almost feel like at this point, is it worth even me talking about it? Because everyone who listens to anything I say out loud into the world knows I probably love this movie.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Like, what am I going to... I'm going to say the same things I say about most of the Marvel movies that I love so much. It was great. It was everything I wanted out of this movie.
It was. We're not going to do spoilers.
Oh, of course not.
We're not going to do spoilers. We'll wait for next week.
Yeah.
Next week, when everybody has done it, we'll just
bleh.
But the one thing that they did in this movie that actually surprised me was, well, it's actually two things. One, even though he is entirely a CG character, Thanos was fully a person in this movie.
Yep.
Like, I felt you could not tell me that, first of all, whatever they did with the voice was perfect, because I didn't know that was Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Cable.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Or the big brother from. Goonies.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't have even known it. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, but then just he's a CG character, and he feels 100% tangible in this, from his weight, his movement, and everything. And then two, the one thing in the comics that I always liked about Thanos was that, depending on who was writing him, especially if Jim Starlin was writing him, you cared a little bit about Thanos.
Yeah.
You saw a little bit about his point of view. His point of view has changed here in this movie.
Yeah.
Because in the comics, it's really a comic book, like stories and love with death and all this stuff. But in this movie, you cared about him.
Yeah.
You felt for Thanos for a little bit. I mean, he's still Thanos.
Yeah.
But you feel for him.
Yeah.
And they did it. I mean, God, I didn't think that was going to happen.
I think I said this on, you know, me and me after we got into the car after seeing it. Noel and I did a quick little podcast, which we haven't released yet, but we were talking about, it's basically Thanos is the main character of this movie.
Yeah.
Everyone else had their, you know, had their moments and everything, but for the most part, this movie is Thanos's film.
Right.
And I agree 100% that that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. And this studio has gotten a lot of flack for some of their villain choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think. What do we got? The Purple Man was awesome. Kingpin was awesome.
Right.
Killmonger was awesome.
Right.
And
Loki.
Oh, the Loki was awesome, and the Vulture.
Vulture was good too.
And now I would add Thanos. I think Thanos may be the top of that list. He's up there with Kingpin as far as like development of character and actually being able to put yourself into his shoes and kind of see where he's coming from and what he wants to do. And the sacrifices that he makes in this movie, he feels, you know, if you want to make your villain a real badass, you'll have him kill one of his henchmen for no reason. Like, man, that guy really doesn't give a fuck. But what struck me here is that he feels all the sacrifices that he makes for this. He's not just some, you know, what was his name from Justice League? Steppenwolf.
Steppenwolf, yeah.
Steppenwolf. He's not just a guy who shows up and he's just angry and wants to do something because reasons.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. He steals this whole movie, and he is all CG. Unbelievable.
Which is amazing, because you bring it up. Steppenwolf, also all CG.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right there. He looks like he's CG.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally looks like he's from a video game.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
At no point do I believe him.
At no point whatsoever. Even from his voice. The voice doesn't even sound like it's coming from that part of the freaking screen. But
and I wonder how much of it is character development. You know, Steppenwolf doesn't really have any development. It's like, oh, mother, I'm going to get the boxes. But at least in here, they spend so much character development on him. Is that what bridges the gap between Uncanny Valley and like believing that a thing that's not real is real?
Maybe, but when you really think about it, Thanos hasn't had, but so has he even had a total of 5 minutes screen time
up until now? That's what I mean, though, in this movie itself.
Well, okay, yes, in this movie, yeah, you're right, because it is basically his movie.
Yeah,
so they devote that to him. Also, I think it's very powerful how he opens the movie and you immediately feel his menace by how the movie opens and a certain person that he totally takes off the map in the beginning of the
film. That hurt me.
Yeah.
That hurt me. I wasn't ready for it.
Because he basically takes his place on top of the pantheon of Marvel Cinematic Universe villains within the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Oh, it's brutal. This whole movie, that's all I kept saying, is like whenever I would have some downtime, like on the ride home, and I'd just be like, man, that was brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
It was dark. but well done.
It was. It's very well done. There are some aspect like it. First of all, it is stock full of like all the characters are in there.
Oh yeah.
If you got a favorite character,
well,
they're in there.
Not all of them.
Okay. There's two. Well, no. There's two that aren't in there.
Yeah.
But they're not conspicuous for not being in there because in this fight they would have got lost.
Yeah.
And if they survived this fight, it would have been false.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe one, but certainly not the other.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And we can say it because they're not there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Hawkeye and Ant-Man.
Yep.
They're not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So if you're going there to see them, they're not there.
Yeah.
But Ant-Man's going to get a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, he's fine.
I still say I want a Black Widow Hawkeye movie.
No. I want a Black Widow movie.
No Hawkeye?
Hawkeye doesn't deserve a movie.
Oh. I thought it would be a good team.
Okay, they could be a good team, but it should be a Black Widow movie.
And then have him just show up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because remember, she, for all intents and purposes, is Cap's sidekick.
And she's been around almost as long as Tony. Tony has only been around one movie longer than her.
That's right.
Because she showed up in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, you're right.
And she's been around this long and she still hasn't gotten a movie.
Nope.
Son of a biscuit.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, they got beat by Wonder Woman. Which, yeah, to be fair, if anyone's going to beat her.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's going to do it. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But, so everyone gets their play. Everyone gets their moment in this movie. There is one character that I don't think got on my nerves is the right way to say it, but I just wasn't feeling in this movie, and that was Doctor Strange. And I think part of it is because I'm having trouble buying Benedict Cumberbatch in that role.
Really?
Not that I don't like. I like Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
I just having a problem buying him in that role.
Huh.
He doesn't look like somebody who's in the movie having fun.
No. Okay, that's true. But I feel like Doctor Strange isn't having fun.
Which I understand that as well.
If they gave him some fun to have, he could be having fun with it. But they don't really give Doctor Strange, in most of the movies, except for his own.
Right.
You know, he shows up and he doesn't make too many jokes. He's an asshole.
See, but by fun, I don't mean by having like cracking jokes. By fun, I mean just looking like he's, you know, he's into it.
Yeah.
He looks very, I don't know, just something about it. It's just, I'm not buying. And maybe it also part of it is like, I'm not a big Doctor Strange fan.
Me neither.
So that might be part of it as well.
Yeah. You know, there are certain characters that don't have a lot of fun to have. Like the Vision is not a character that gets to act like he's having a good time. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but he's being Vision.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe Doctor Strange is being Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And if they gave Doctor Strange more things to make it seem like the actor was having fun, he might be indecipherable from Tony Stark.
Fair enough.
Do you see what I mean?
Fair enough.
Yeah, I like that he feels different to me than Tony. Because a lot of people, when Doctor Strange, the movie, had come out, were just like, oh, so it's Tony Stark, but with magic.
Right.
But like side by side with Tony, there is a...
You see the difference.
Stark contrast.
Yes.
I'll never stop making this joke. So yeah, but the movie overall gave me everything I wanted. I had a list of things that I wanted from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And to one degree or another, I received exactly what I wanted from it. And it's 10... I love the little thing, what was it, Marvel Studios, right?
Yeah.
When it comes up, they change the I-O in studio to the 10, number 10.
Yes.
To be like, you've been watching these motherfuckers for 10 years. Enjoy. Yep. And I felt the gravitas of everything that happened in it because we've been with these characters for so long.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll say is that some of the choices made at the end of the movie are less than impactful just because I know how stories work.
Okay.
And I'll explain that off the air or maybe when we do...
comic book stories.
Yeah, when we do...
when we do the spoiler
shit. Yeah,
yeah.
I'll talk more about that if I remember. But otherwise, man, I thought this was great.
Yeah, but you're right. They're less impactful if you're us.
Mm-hmm.
You've read these stories. You know how these guys are operating.
Or if you know the slate of movies that are coming.
That are coming.
Yeah, that kind of ruins things.
True that too. Yeah. But just taking them on their face alone, there's a lot of things that are very impactful.
Yeah, I got emotional a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, I was watching this
with Ariel,
and she was bawling.
I know, and you were a jerk about it. You made I heard you because we were right next to you. You made fun of. You said, "Are you crying?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm human. I'm a person." So shame on you, Ariel. Yes. If you're listening to this, you cry your eyes out. You don't listen to this jerk. I got a little weepy.
You did?
Yeah. But yeah, I'm a real easy mark.
You are.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
Very true.
Like if my food is too delicious, I'll just be like, this is so good. So yeah. tears be flowing.
Is there one moment, and try not to spoil it, but is there one moment by one character that stands out to you in this movie that you want to give people?
Besides Thanos?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's spoiling something, but I will say that a certain outfit does a certain thing that I was real excited about because I didn't see it in the trailer.
Right.
I knew that the outfit existed, and I was like, I don't know about that outfit. And then it did a certain thing, and I went, oh, there we go. I'm excited about this.
Winner.
Yeah. Chicken dinner. Do you have one?
Yes. And I can say it in just one line and just wait for it, ladies and gentlemen. Magic with a kick.
Yeah, that was cute. Yeah, that ties into mine as well.
Yes,
yeah,
it does.
Those both are hand in hand. Yeah. When I was first got out of the theater, I was talking to Noel because invariably with any of these things, I never know ahead of time that I'm going to be seeing a press screening. Mm. I get the email and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go to this. So I had already bought our tickets for Thursday night, opening night. And generally when we do a press screening, I am immediately ready to walk back into a theater to see the movie again. Like when we had seen, what was the last one we saw? Black Panther. I was immediately ready to turn right back around and watch that movie.
One more time.
And this one I went, oh man, I don't know if I'm ready to see this again on Thursday.
Wow, really?
This is brutal. There was a lot. There was a lot of emotions going on in this movie, and it's like exhausting for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm ready for all this darkness again in a day, in like 2 days. But sitting here now, I can't wait to see it again.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
Me neither.
I wish I had more, because I know Randy's upset that I'm not saying negative things about this movie. Because,
you think so?
Don't you think?
No.
I feel like he feels that people who like Marvel movies always love Marvel movies just because they're Marvel movies. Everything else be damned.
Yeah, see, but Randy can feel that way because Randy, unfortunately, has blinders. Mm-hmm. Because that is the only way that you can explain that you can, with a straight face, say you accept the faults in Batman v Superman and yet still think that it's a good movie. There's nothing good about that movie. Makes no sense.
Batman vs. Superman?
Batman v. Superman.
I disagree with that. I think
it makes no sense. They stop fighting because their mother's name is Martha.
Okay. See, you're letting all of the things you don't like about the movie dissuade you from liking anything about the movie. I'm of the mind that there is good shit in that movie.
There's good stuff.
It's just
in the
tied
movie
together with ribbon that has no substance.
That's what I'm saying. There's good stuff in the movie.
Like that fight was dope.
There's good stuff in the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
But good. That doesn't mean that the movie makes sense.
Touche. Okay. But, you know, even as someone who reviews movies, I don't even want to say I review them because I'm not a fucking reviewer. What the fuck do I know? But someone who discusses movies, I feel better about my review if I've got some negative things to say about it, because then it at least...
You feel objective?
I feel objective about it. Like, I'm not just peeking around my boner. But I can't think of anything about this movie that I was just like, nah, fuck that part. That part sucked. Or
the only... Okay, there's other things that I could object about this film, but they would be spoiling it.
Okay.
But the one thing that I will say is that this is a movie that it is decidedly the last issue of the miniseries, mm-hmm. and assumes that you have read every issue.
Absolutely. We did say that on the, yeah, when Noel and I were talking yesterday, this is 10 years of movies culminating. This isn't like, oh, you know what? I've never watched a single Marvel movie. Let me just jump right in here.
No. Because they are not holding your hand in this at all.
I almost wish that there was a way for me to go in like that. I wish I could just like selectively erase and just so I could experience and be like, what the, who the fuck are these people and what are they doing?
Yeah. Now, that being said, if you are one of those people that avoids trailers, there's a lot to enjoy in this film.
Yeah.
Because there are so many moments where you're like, but other than that, like, yeah, they don't hold your hand. So, and I can't blame them. I mean, it is, you know, if you've been following along, you know this is the last part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if you weren't, even if you only followed the Avengers movies, you know that this is the final part of something.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is a little bit problematic.
The one thing I will say, which is just another nice thing about this movie, is you've heard me time and again talk about my problems with Civil War. There's no real plot to speak of. And the big money shot that they keep showing in the trailers where everyone's running towards each other in the airport.
Yeah.
All I see is like maybe 12 cosplayers running at each other in a parking lot. That's just all I see. This does not feel like that.
No.
Civil War felt like half of a film to me. It felt very empty, but gorgeous, and I had a bucket of fun with it. Mm-hmm. But this one does not. This is chocked full to the brim.
Oh yeah,
of cool shit, and it feels full. It was a whole meal.
This is full bleed. This is Brian Hitch.
Nice.
Brian Hitch ultimate.
Yeah.
Comic, like it's like his pen, like the big issue of, remember when he did in Ultimates, Brian Hitch, you know, an amazing artist when he wants to be,
yeah,
but when he did this in Ultimates, the second Ultimates 2, and he does this 12 page pullout, which is,
did he
just one, I think it, 12, I might be over, but right, it might be like, but it was, 6 pages.
Yeah.
And it's a 6 page, it's one big fight scene. You just keep unfolding. You're like, oh my God, what did this man do?
Yeah.
That is Infinity War.
Nice. Well done. All right. Anything else? We good?
I think we're good.
All right. Thank you. To everyone who writes in, we really appreciate it. We love it. Please, if you're on iTunes, go. I always forget to ask this. Go and subscribe or leave us a nice review. That help other people find the show. If you like the show, tell your friends about it. Write in. Tweet at us at Black Tribbles.
Yes, Black Tribbles.
Or
JD Hero.
JD's.
JD's. JDS. Hero Complex.
There you go. Or you can email us at blacktribbles@gmail.com.
Or coltpopgo@gmail.com.
My man. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us. I have a question for you. Oh my God, a question.
So for all you people that are emailing us, next week we'll be talking about Infinity War and we'll be going in on it.
Yeah.
We'll go spoiler hard.
Yeah.
But I have a question for all you people who do watch Infinity War. Give us, if you can, either on a tweet or an email, whatever, a lesson that Warner Brothers can take from Infinity War and apply to their movies.
Nice. Okay. That's good. All right.
Thanos is just one. We gave you one right now.
Yeah.
Whoever did Thanos, look at the credits. Whoever's the Thanos crew, hire them for Darkseid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
Oh man, I don't even know how they would beat Darkseid. Like how they would beat Thanos with Darkseid, you know what I mean? Like they would write him to such an extent. All right, yeah, cool. Yeah. Hit us up. Thanks guys, and we will chat at you later.